I'm Leslie Lilgenberg, Chair of the Board. Today is June 20th, 2025, and the time is 10:02 a.m. I now call to order this meeting of the Board of Directors of the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas. This meeting is being held in person at the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas, 1601 East Pflugerville Parkway, Suite 3301, Pflugerville, Texas, 78660. Written notice of this meeting, the proposed agenda, and all related meeting materials were provided to the Texas Department of Insurance Deputy Commissioner of the Financial Regulation Division and her designees on June 10, 2025, in accordance with the Surplus Line Stamping Office of Texas Plan of Operation Section 2C2. Written notice of this meeting and the related agenda were submitted to the Office of the Secretary of State and published on June 11, 2025 for publication in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. All board members were notified of this meeting on June 4, 2025. A conference call-in number was provided to members of the public in the public meeting notice. I will now call the roll to confirm which board meetings are participating in today's meeting. Jeff Klein, Vice Chair of the Board. Via Teams, yes. He's here. Nick Lawrence.
Here.
Pete Harrison.
He's going to be joining.
Okay. Ezekiel Nathal.
Present via Teams.
Leah Bennett.
Present via Teams.
Ryan Bridges.
Present via Teams.
Jim Bishop.
Present via Teams.
And Jason Cables is not able to attend today, right? A quorum of five or more members is present pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.125B2 and Plan of Operation Section 2C6. The following Stampus Office management staff, council, consultants, and liaisons are present. Please affirm your attendance for the record when I call your name. Greg Brandon, Executive Director.
Present.
Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance. Present, on our way. Denise, Director of HR, here. Shalonda Stone, Director of IT.
Present.
Maria Musalam.
Maria.
Okay, Marina. Michael Norrid and Jeff McWirt, General Counsel.
Present, via Teams.
Via Teams.
Paul Rainey. PSLA. Present. Denise, will you please identify the additional stamping office staff members participating via Teams?
Ma'am. Marissa Gomez, Administrative Assistant.
Toby Pick, Operations Manager.
And via Teams is joining Dalton Moore, Christian Porter, Robin Porter, Sharmila Suveri, and Tyler Pagot.
Thank you. Are there any liaisons or consultants attending? Are any representatives of the Texas Department of Insurance, the Texas Comptroller, or legislative offices attending in person or by telephone?
Guerrero,
Office of Financial Regulation. That's here.
Dodd, Office of Financial Counsel.
Great. Thank you, guys. Before we get started, I have a few housekeeping item reminders. Antitrust activity or discussion are prohibited at all stamping office functions. This prohibition includes exchange of information concerning individual company rates, coverages, market practices, claims settlement practices, expenses, or any other competitive aspect of an individual company's operation. We will not have a public comment session. Public and media attendees listening by telephone should mute their lines at all times. Representatives of state agencies and members of the public are welcome to observe or record this board meeting, but please refrain from asking questions or interjecting comments during the board's deliberations. The state agency personnel present may be asked questions about their agency's policies if those questions related to an agenda item. Members, council, and staff should identify themselves by full name when speaking. Please mute your microphone or telephone when not speaking. Agenda item number two, discussion and appropriate approval of March 28, 2025 meeting minutes. Everyone has been provided a copy of the March 28, 2025 meeting minutes. Are there any corrections? Any further discussion? on the minutes. There being no further discussion, do we have a motion to approve the March 28, 2025 minutes?
So moved.
Yeah. And may I have a second?
This is Nick, I'll second it.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Agenda item number 3 is discussion appropriate action, finance and audit committee report and related items. I will now open the floor to Mr. Nick Lawrence, a member of the finance and audit committee, joined by Ms. Ronnie Ford, director of finance, and others to present this agenda item.
Thank you, Leslie. Finance and Audit Committee, consisting of myself and Ezekiel Nathal, met earlier today, June 20th at 9 a.m. We heard presentations and, where appropriate, voted affirmatively on the recommendations that will be presented to this board related to the 2025 finance year-to-date update and the 2025 pension funding. At this time, I'll turn the floor over to Ronnie Ford, Director of Finance, and sub-items A and B under this agenda item.
Hello, everyone. What I'm going to review is the 2025 May financial results. Key points, the stamping fees were under budget by 1%, $7,650 for May, and over budgeted by 10%, which is $311,000 year to date. Investment income was under budget by 1%, which is $1,266 for May, and over budgeted by 6%, which is $31,267 for the year, which means we earned more on our investment. Total operating expenses were under budget for May, almost $1,191,000 or 66%, and under budget $1,367,000 or 28% for the year. Salaries and benefits were under budget by 75%, which is $1,165,000 for the month, and 35%, $1,234,000 year to date. We have the annual pension plan, which funded in this the salaries and benefits budget for May of $1,162,500, which we'll be discussing in the later slides. Professional services were over budgeted by 5%. $1,334 for May and under budget by 2%, almost $3,827 year to date, due to a new video training invoice from Limelight being paid in full in January, where the budget was spread out over the 12 months of the year. Conferences and education were under budget by 37%, which is $2,000 for May, and 62%, $24,000 per year, due to timing of the budget. Conferences, and that's included in travel and entertainment, were under budget by 60%, which is $6,000 for the month, and 52%, which is $23,000 for the year. Occupational and operation expense were under budget by $8,400 or 26% for the month, and under budget by $45,000 or 24% for the year. In this category of occupational and operation expense, it includes software, computer equipment, and printing. All of those were under budgeted for the year. General and administrative expenses were under budget by $1,263 or 1% for May, and under budget by $13,688, which is 2% year to date. In this category, we do have contingency expense, which were not used, resulting in $9,031 savings for the month and $24,000 for the year of savings. We had $136,111 income in May and $486,154 income year to date. We have budgeted a loss in income of $928,372 for the month and a loss of $1,213,195 through May. Remember, this includes the pensions for income. Change in investment values was a decrease of approximately $117,367 for May and $9,382 decrease year to date. Are there any questions on the financial piece of it? If not, then Nick.
Well, she's still got the.
So we'll move on. Not anything else, then I'll move on to the fund balance. And so just to give you an update on the fund balance.
Okay.
It's included in 2025 fund balance, unrestricted, undesignated funds being balanced in January of 2025 after the 2024 audit was $32,205,986 for May. Year-to-date net income has a $486,154 result in a fund balance of May 31st of $32,906,000, which is $18.2 million over our current projected year-end value, which is the projected income value is 18.2 over the current maximum. The projected year-to-date maximum fund value is $14.5 million. Currently, we have 13.2 over the projected amount balance right now.
Okay.
So that's the updated on the fund. Any questions on that one?
Is there any discussion or questions for Ms. Ford regarding the 2025 finance year-to-date update? Ms. Ford, do you have a recommendation regarding the 2025 finance year-to-date update? Thank you. So please continue, Ms. Ford, with the 2025 pension funding discussion.
Okay. Included in our 2025 budget was a pension cost of $1,162,500, which I told you earlier. The IRS maximum contribution rate for the year is $249,000. Well, our actuary came back with a recommendation, a range of a minimum of $797,000 and maximum of $869,242 to be proposed pension increase. So for 2025, pension has not been funded, so a proposal is made for the board to approve the request of a maximum amount of $862,242 provided by the actuarial report.
Are there any questions or further discussion on this item being the pension funding? Any questions? Nick, do you have a recommendation for a board motion at this time regarding the 2025 pension funding that you have presented with along with Ms. Ford?
Yes, I recommend this committee make a recommendation to the board to approve the 2025 pension payment for the maximum amount of $869,242.
Thank you, Nick. Is there a motion at the board? There is a motion, and the board approved the 2025 pension payment for the maximum amount of $869,242. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Jim Bishop?
Yes.
Is there any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. The ayes have it and the motion passes. Thank you very much, Nick and Ronnie, for that presentation. Agenda item four is executive director report and appropriate action. And I open the floor to Mr. Greg Brandon, executive director, to present.
As always, I'd like to start with the organizational chart, but it's going to be particularly difficult to do this today. I'll start with the good news. Donna Ogg retired on June 6th. We had a wonderful farewell luncheon for her that day, and we were joined by her husband, Bruce, and most of the staff.
Sorry, he's not joining.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Thanks for joining in. So thanks for jumping in. So I just started my presentation. We're talking about the org chart. Donna retired on June 6th. We had a nice farewell luncheon for her. Her husband came, and most of our staff were able to sit in and send her into retirement on a very happy note. As you know, we hired Ronnie Ford back in March, and she has been working with Donna on transitioning all of the director of finance responsibilities. since that time and is well prepared to take over leading the financial division of this organization. Now on to the hard part. A week after we said farewell to Donna at her retirement celebration, Cheyenne Herrera, our director of operation, was admitted to the hospital due to complications arising from her long-term illness. 4 days later, on Tuesday morning of this week, she lost her battle against cancer. She was a pillar of strength as she endured so many different treatments over the last several years, and our entire organization is heartbroken by the loss. Working at the stamping office wasn't just a job for Cheyenne. It was a calling. She was the matriarch of modern-day surplus lines filing and compliance in Texas. She was an amazing leader, teacher, friend, and confidant to so many in the industry, and she will be dearly missed. When I get to her slides, I will discuss some of the organizational developments that have occurred recently, and you will see that Cheyenne took great interest in providing development opportunities for the entire operations team in recent years, and we will continue to honor Cheyenne's contributions to the industry through our work at the Stamps of Office. Next slide, please. So, as you can see, through May, we've had over $7.6 billion in premium reported to us, which is up 18.5% versus the same time period the previous years. The last 2 months have also been all-time record premium months, April being almost $1.9 billion and May almost $1.8 billion. The previous record for any month was May of 2024, $1.7 billion. Next slide, please. Moving on to item counts, a very similar story to premium with substantially more volume than in previous years. Through May, total item count is 562,664, which is about 7% higher than the same time period the previous year. Also, as you can see, April and May were record-setting months with the previous record last May, 119,802. So two consecutive record months over our previous record. Next slide. Slide number four, talking specifically about policy counts. This is my final slide. So this is policies only versus the last slide was everything pouring through our doors. Last year was just over 325,000, whereas this year the number is up over 373,000. Similar to other metrics, April and May were both records on the policy count as well, with both months being over 80,000 policies. Prior to this, the only month the stamping office had ever seen over 80,000 policies in a month was back in November of 2023. That's my last slide. Does anybody have any questions about year-to-date update on the organization? Okay. This is my presentation for the executive director side.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to the next agenda item, and that is agenda item number six, the ITS director report and appropriate action. Ms. Sholanda Stone.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do five. Yeah, sorry. Is that gone?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Caught.
Agenda item number five, operations director report and appropriation. Is that where we're going with that? Yeah. And you're presenting
and
that. Okay. At this time, we have Mr. Greg Brandon, director of operation, executive director to present the operations director report.
Okay. I'll start off with staff updates. We've had several developments, really achievements in recent weeks. I'll start with Christian, our senior data analyst. He graduated last month from Georgia Tech with a master's in analytics. We're very proud of him for this achievement. Additionally, just last night, or Kathy would tell you it was early this morning, Kathy, our lead policy analyst, Tyler, one of our senior policy analysts, and Ariel, a senior policy analyst as well, returned from Chicago, where they were participating in the Marcus Payne Advanced ENS program in order to grow and expand surplus lines industry knowledge. So Shane was quite passionate about development of our staff, particularly in operations, and we're super proud to continue that as we proceed forward without it. The next bullet point there, statutorily required deliverables. So on the deliverable side, we continue to generate and deliver monthly and quarterly reports to TDI, monthly late filing reports, listing of policies written through ineligible insurers, which remain outstanding after 60 days, as well as a multitude of kind and class reports. On the insurer analysis recap, you may recall SLTX is required to provide evidence to TDI that an insurer meets the eligibility requirements, as well as provide an evaluation of each insurance contract and surplus lines insurer. The evidence that an insurer meets eligibility requirements is specific to foreign or U.S. insurers and DSLIs, which are domestic surplus lines insurers. Alien insurers or non-U.S. insurers are reflected on the NAIC quarterly listing and are automatically eligible to write business in Texas per the NRRA. So year to date through May, we've had 9 new insurers or syndicates become eligible, and we've had 1 insurer eligibility that was reinstated after the first quarter. Quick update on SMART. Continue working through technical debt, including updating the platform used for all SMART reports as PDFs. Also, several enhancements and process improvements. Work on policy audit and checked work modules remains in progress. And we are kind of through the busier time of the year. And this is the kind of thing when we talk about SMART, as you know, it is primarily handled by Sholanda's team. And so probably in future board meetings, the update regarding SMARTs and the progress with regards to development will probably come through her and her staff. And that concludes my operations team.
Thank you very much. Is there any further discussion or any questions on these items? Brandon, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
I do not.
Thank you very much. So moving to the next agenda item now. Agenda item 6, ITS Director Report and Appropriate Action. Ms. Sholanda Stone, Director of ITS, will you please present?
Okay, I'm going to start off by staff updates. Our developers are continuing to basically work together. They're doing a lot of peer-to-peer stuff. They're getting ready to go to Kansas City Developer Conference in August. So, and then we have a couple of our developers going to a conference in November to New York. So they're continuing their education. Developers currently work on releases 1.2504 and 1.2505. They also worked on new technology research development for SMART and the developer pipeline. So I don't know if y'all, it's been a while back we talked about it. We got a grant from through Microsoft, and we're developing our current pipeline has been changed over to Azure to ensure easier development, easier transitions, and less disruptive when we do updates. So we're continuing to push forward doing that. For the IT general, just overall general updates, they're was a forum, they called it the CAB forum. They passed SC-081, which is they're decreasing the time frame that our SSL certificates are going to be current or in life cycle. They went from originally being 825 days to 398 days, and now they're going all the way down to 100 days. In proposed September this year. And by next year, all life cycles or certificates are going to be 47 days. That has a huge impact on us because we have certificates that basically say that SMART's safe to go into a psycho security setting for people putting in their personal information, accessing SMART. So it was very important that we stayed on top of this. And being on top of it, what we did was we stayed with Set2Go, which was which was the vendor that actually gave us our SSL certificates that we've been using for a long time, and we now have them automated, which means we don't have to worry about going in every 47 days, spending 3 or 4 hours of everybody's time trying to update certificates and trying to remember what all of them are, because whew, that's a chore. So we did get that done, and I'm glad that that's one less thing out of the way. And that was a big thing. We had some zero-day updates. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that term. That is vulnerabilities that have been exploited by hackers, and the vendors have no time to patch them because they're basically already being accessed by hackers. We had a few of those go out on the servers a couple times last month, but we got them all updated the next morning after the zero-day update was posted. So we've been staying on top of that. Our FortiGate inside of the – sorry. Yeah.
Just to clarify, that was not specific to our data.
No, it was not. Sorry. Yes, it was not specific to the data. Nothing happened with us. It's just precautionary that we try to stay on top of everything. So as soon as stuff get out, we're on top of it.
Vulnerability associated with Azure.
Yeah. Well, no, it's associated with anything Microsoft related. So yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're good. You're good. So we got all that stuff updated. We do try to, we do stay on top of it anytime we have zero-day updates. They're getting installed as soon as they're pushed out. So we did have some issues with our FortiGate firewall in the office. FortiGate issued did an update a while back that was causing us to do nightly reboots at 1 a.m. and granted, I don't have to do that anymore. They released a patch to fix it, and it was due to an IPS acceleration, which is the Internet Service Protocol. They had some issues with that, so it's back up and running. We don't have to do any more nightly restarts, but we're back to our monthly restarts for the FortiGate. And that was only affected anybody in the office, which was mainly Christian. So we had to make sure we stayed on top of that so he's able to work. We rolled out Avian. I talked about that the last time we met. It basically is going to replace Proofpoint. It is live and running. We ran into a couple things. Avian is a lot more secure than Proofpoint is. So we have some emails that are generating through Smart. And because they're repetitive, Avian's like, nope, nobody's coming in. So we're just kind of putting some things in place to allow all the emails to come through Smart. And it's mainly when the stakeholders are uploading policies through Smart. So we have a few that they're either large policies or they're like really repetitive back to back to back. And according to the way that the security is set up anyway, it kind of blocks everything. So I'll get a few emails throughout the day on tech support to release them, but it's not that many. So we've been staying on top of that. In the meantime, we've put some stuff into place. We're just testing it out to make sure that it's working. A couple of things we tried did not work. We got on the phone with Avian, so we were working through the security with Avian. But other than everything's going good. The other side, of course, is just web stats. For I do it quarterly or monthly. This is the monthly web stats kind of show all the emails that are coming in. It shows the visits and preferably attacks and blocks that we have on the website, which is our sltx.org facing website, not Smart. And then the just inbound and outbound traffic to give you an idea how much email comes in and goes out and how much is clean and filtered and how much fraud we get, which is a lot. But that is all I have. Anybody have any questions?
I have one question. Wasn't there something we're working on with the passwords or something with all the staff, or that they haven't reset them or something?
So it's a passwordless logon. We're still working through that. Most of it is in place. We have not rolled it out to the staff yet completely. Next step is to get operations to do some testing on it. So by the end of the year, we will have a passwordless environment, which means everybody will be using their phone, just like you have on your bank app. Most of the apps now require you to use your phone and not a password. Or if you have a password, you do have to do the double authentication. This kind of takes the place of the MFA. It's still like the MFA is multi-factor, and it just takes the place of it's a lot more secure. So if you don't have your token, which is your phone, or a physical token, which we can
offer something like that,
then you can't get on. So, but yeah, we're still working through that. I just didn't.
Yeah, I was just curious. Yeah. I know you're trying to
Yeah, it's still going.
Ongoing. Can't fix it all at once. Is there any further discussion or any questions on these items for Ms. Stone?
I just had a quick question, and apologies if I missed this earlier, but on the right side of this, these averages, is this annual or monthly or year to date?
The email traffic is monthly. All of these are monthly. So they're appreciate just it. Monthly averages.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Any other questions or discussion? Okay. Ms. Stone, do you have a recommendation for the board at this time?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Thank you so much for your presentation and update. Last agenda item is adjournment. There's no other business before the board. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I moved.
All right, who was that? Is that Ryan Bridges first? May I have a second?
Nick, I'll second it.
Okay. Gotcha. It's hard to unmute. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say no. The ayes have it, and the meeting is adjourned at 10:33 on June 20th, 2025.